ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Continuing our reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 85, Lord Krishna instructs Vasudev, text number 14. Tasman na santi ami bhavah yarhi tvai vikalpita tvam cha amishu vikareshu hi anyada avyavaharika. Tasmana santi ami bhava yarhi tvai vikalpita tvam chamishu vikareshu hi anyada vyavaharika. Tasmana santi ami bhava yarhi tvai vikalpita tvam chamishu vikareshu hi anyada vyavaharika. Tasmana santi ami bhava yarhi tvai vikalpita tvam chamishu vikareshu hi anyada vyavaharika. Matajis. Tasmat, therefore, na not, santi, exist, ami, this, bhava, entities, yarhi, when, tvai, within you, vikalpita, arranged, tvam, you, cha, also, amishu, within this, vikareshu, products of creation, he, indeed, anyada, at any other time, avyavaharika, non-material. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Thus, these created entities transformations of material nature do not exist except when material nature manifests them within you, at which time you also manifest within them. But aside from such periods of creation, you stand alone as the transcendental reality. Purport. When the universe is wound up at the time of its periodic annihilation, all the inert objects and bodies of living beings that hitherto were manifested by the Lord's Maya become disconnected from His sight. Then, since He maintains no association with them during the period of universal dissolution, they in fact no longer exist. In other words, material manifestations have real functioning existence only when the Lord turns His attention to the creation and maintenance of material cosmos. The Lord is never within these objects in any material sense, but He does mercifully pervade them all as an impersonal Brahman, and as a Paramatma He enters within every atom and also accompanies the Jiva souls in their individual embodiments. As the Lord describes in His own words in the verses of Bhagavad Gita 9 chapter 4 and 5, Maya tatamidam sarvam jagad avyakta murtina matsani sarva bhutani nachaham teshu avastita nacha matsani bhutani pashyame yogamaishwaram bhutabhrinnacha bhutosto mamatma bhutabhavana. By me, in my unmanifest form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. And yet everything that is created does not rest in me. Behold my mystic opulence. Although I am the maintainer of all living entities, and although I am everywhere, I am not part of this cosmic manifestation. For myself is the very source of creation. Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Utapadakamalam Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitam Sha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Bhashyatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vyasya Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavani Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Krishna. Translation once again. Thus this created entity's transformations of material nature do not exist when material nature manifests them within you, at which time you also manifest within them. But aside from such periods of creation, you stand alone as a transcendental reality. So in this series of verses, which are in the form of a prayer or glorification by Vasudev, Vasudev is emphatically preaching and propounding the deep principles of Krishna conscious philosophy, the Achintya Bhedabhed Tattva. How Lord is one and yet different, inconceivably, from His creation. So Krishna is not easy to understand. Krishna is absolute truth. I remember when I had not yet joined and I was coming temple to do some services here. One time I was in the backup, and along with me Gaur Gopal, who had just joined that time, also was doing backup. And His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj entered to the backup room. Then he saw Gaur Gopal Prabhu and he asked him, "What is 1 plus 1? So Prabhuji thought for some time and then he said, "Maharaj, 1. And then Maharaj asked him, "What is 1 minus 1? And he said, "1. And Maharaj said, "Very nice," and embraced him and went away. So then I asked Gaur Gopal Prabhu that how did you able to answer this question, you know, 1 plus 1? He said, "If Radhanath Swami is asking such a simple question, 1 plus 1, it can't be 2, you know, because small kid also will answer this question. So when a very senior person asks you a simple question, you should know there has to be some deeper understanding of that question. So 1 plus 1 in absolute mathematics is 1. In ordinary mathematics it is 2. What is absolute mathematics? That Krishna is that 1, absolute truth. Ekala Ishvara Krishna Arasava Bhritya. So Krishna is full, complete. Om Purnamada Purnamidam. Krishna does not require anything more in Him. He is complete in itself. So you add something more to Krishna, Krishna will remain the same. So 1 plus 1 is again 1. Krishna is complete. Similarly, 1 minus 1, when Krishna expands into different incarnations and this whole universal manifestation takes place, Krishna does not lose His potency. Krishna remains the same absolute truth. So 1 minus 1 is also again 1. So we can see that how for any ordinary person to learn mathematics is so difficult. Many of us had trouble with mathematics, maths, especially maths. But if you want to know about transcendental mathematics, it is much more difficult. 1 plus 1, 1 minus 1 remains 1. So absolute truth is like that. One cannot understand absolute truth. Therefore, absolute truth is called as inconceivable. Our philosophy is Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. Oneness and difference. So Prabhupada said oneness. Krishna is one with His creation. Yet Krishna is different from His creation. And then if you still don't understand, therefore this word Achintya is there. Inconceivable. So if you can understand, well and good. If you cannot understand, then you focus on the word Achintya. That Krishna is inconceivable by our material senses, therefore is Achintya Bhedabhed Tattva. So we see here that Lord Krishna, because He is inconceivable, He cannot be understood by mundane scholarship or even by knowledge of Vedas. One cannot grasp Krishna. But the same Krishna is very easily understandable by people who are very simple at heart. We have in Bhagavatam so many great devotees who were not very great scholars, but were simple Vaishnavas. Take example of Kunti Maharani. Ordinary, externally, she was just a housewife. Of course, she mothered 5 great sons like Pandavas. But Kunti Maharani's prayers found their place in Bhagavatam. I mean, there are so many prayers which devotee must have glorified when they saw Krishna, but not all prayers are in Bhagavatam. Why Kunti Maharani's prayer came in Bhagavatam? So Prabhupada says, Kunti Maharani's prayers come in Bhagavatam because it was a realization. And Prabhupada says in one of the places in his lectures, he mentions that Kunti Maharani, she is a pure devotee. One cannot understand a pure devotee from external senses. Because externally pure devotee or ordinary devotee, they look alike in terms of their devotional activities. Like Prabhupada also chanted Hare Krishna, we also chanted Hare Krishna. We took the same prasadam. But Prabhupada is Prabhupada. So how do you understand a pure devotee? When a pure devotee glorifies Krishna, their prayers, when they come out, through them you get a glimpse of their heart. So the heart of Kunti Devi, apparently a simple Vaishnavi, her heart has come out through her prayers. And when you go through the prayers, then you understand her profound realization. And therefore Prabhupada mentioned that even great renunciate and vairagis, they very deeply study Kunti Maharani's prayers, because they learn something from that. Because Kunti Maharani, in her prayers, what she is asking? She is asking for difficulties to come again and again so that she can remember Krishna. Now this is something which is real difficult to ask. We often pray to Krishna and ask so many things. But no one can dare and ask, oh Krishna, last year this difficulty was there in my life, kindly make the difficulty come again. So difficult. But Kunti Maharani dares to ask, because she is not interested in difficulty, she is interested in Krishna consciousness. And she saw that when she was in difficulty, she was more Krishna conscious. And therefore she is worried more than difficulty, she is worried about not being Krishna conscious. Like I was reading an article from Bhakti Gaur magazine, and the author was mentioning that if you see the case of Prahlad Maharaj, such a great devotee, was put into difficulty, a small child. And the difficulty was put up by whom? By his own father, Hiranyakashipu. But Prahlad Maharaj in that difficulty remembered the Lord. So when difficulty comes, pure devotees, they remember the Lord. And in this article, this devotee was mentioning, but for ordinary devotees, when difficulties come, they don't remember the Lord. Like Prahlad Maharaj, when difficulties came, when Hiranyakashipu was giving difficulty, Prahlad Maharaj was not thinking of Hiranyakashipu, why is putting me in difficulty? Prahlad Maharaj was thinking about Lord Krishna. But in our ordinary life, what will happen when difficulties come, we think about difficulties and not Krishna. Why these difficulties come? How we can overcome the difficulties? So this is a rung of difference between a pure devotee and ordinary conditioned souls. So from the prayers of a devotee, we get a glimpse into his heart. Here we get a glimpse into the heart of these two great souls, Vasudev and Devaki. They had to be great souls because they were non, they are actually parents of Krishna. Some years back, with some devotees, I had got an opportunity to go to this place called as Guruvayur in Kerala. So when we were in temple, one of the pujaris we met, and he was mentioning, I asked him, what is the pastime of this place? So he said, oh, ye Bhagwan bahut bade, bahut important hai. So it's kaise important hai? How it is important? He said, kyunki inko Bhagwan, ye Bhagwan ko Vasudev aur Devaki ne puja tha. He was speaking in his South Indian Hindi, you know. So, this Lord was worshipped by Vasudev and Devaki. Then I was more intrigued. I asked him, tell you more, you know. Then he mentioned this beautiful story, which also comes in Garga Samhita, that Vasudev and Devaki in Satyuga, they were Prishni and Sutapa. And they had undergo tremendous austerities, penance, study of Shastra. It is mentioned they were so much of austere that they would only eat dry leaves and water. That's it. And for thousands of years they performed tapasya. At the end of all that penance, rigorous austerity and study of Shastra, then Lord Vishnu appeared to them and they asked Lord Vishnu that, what do you want? And they mentioned that we want someone like you as our son. So Lord said that there is no one like me, so I will come. But because you have performed this penance for such immense amount of time, I want to give you more opportunity to serve. So I would like to come as your son, not for just once, but three times. And then he told that for three lives you will get me as your son. So the first time, Sutapa and Prishni, they got Lord as Prishni Garbha. The next time as Aditi and Kashyapa, they got Vamandev. And third time as Vasudev and Devaki, they got Lord Krishna. So the pastime goes that the Lord Vishnu told him that along with me as your son, I will also give you a deity, which you worship. And Lord manifested a deity of this beautiful deity from his heart and gave it to Vasudeva and Devaki and told them, you worship this deity. And every time you come as my parents, this deity will come back to you and you will worship them. So in all three lifetimes, as Prishni and Sutapa and as Vasudeva Devaki and also as Vamandeva and as Kashyap and Aditi, they worship this beautiful deity of Guru Vayur. So then I thought, let me also ask how this Guru Vayur has come here, you know. So then he mentioned that when Dwarka was about to be submerged in water, Krishna appeared to Brihaspati and also to Vayu and told that this beautiful deity which was given by me and for three lifetimes my parents have been worshipping me, I want this deity to be gorgeously worshipped. So you take this deity and worship them. But by the time Brihaspati and Vayu came to Dwarka, Dwarka had already been submerged. So Brihaspati was very morose because they came late. And so he sat on the banks of the shores of the ocean and he was doing meditation on the Supreme Form of the Lord. So Vayu thought, let me do some activity, he is meditating. So he had some power, so he went inside the water and he searched all over the place and then he found his beautiful deity inside the ocean. And with the strength of as a Vayudev, he arranged that the deities be slowly taken on the shores. So the deities came floating all the way because of the push of Vayu. And then Brihaspati was meditating and in front of him Lord appeared. And Vayu said, please open your eyes, your meditation has come true. So Brihaspati opened his eyes and he saw this beautiful deity. And then Vayudev took Brihaspati on his shoulders and Guru, this deity was on the hands of Brihaspati and Vayu carried. So they went towards south. And on the way they found a beautiful lake just near the shores of the ocean. And they thought it is a very beautiful place. And they came to this lake and they found Lord Shiva there. And Lord Shiva said, I was waiting for all of you to come here. So why? How come? So because I knew Lord will come to this place only. And this lake is my lake. And I want you to establish the deity worship of this beautiful deity here. And I will leave this lake. This lake will be henceforth Lord's lake. I will go to some other place. So this is how this whole episode of Krishna giving the gift of deity to Vasudeva and Devaki and they worshipping this for three lifetimes and then coming to south in Guru Vayur. And because this deity was worshipped by Guru, Brihaspati and Vayu, it called Guru Vayur Appan, the Lord of Guru Vayur, like that. So coming to the story of how Vasudeva and Devaki externally look like ordinary people, but behind them they had lifetimes of gathering of knowledge of Krishna consciousness. They were not just ordinary devotees, they had profound realization. And therefore we find they are offering all these beautiful prayers. These prayers which are offered by Vasudeva and Devaki are awe and full of venerance. So even though they are offering these prayers, it is mentioned here in this chapter, Krishna will not be happy by these prayers. Krishna is happy when devotees offer prayers. But when devotees like Vasudeva and Devaki are offering prayers which are not suiting their mood of parental love, Krishna is not happy. So Krishna is going to do something very remarkable in this chapter to bring back Vasudeva and Devaki to the original mood. Vasudeva and Devaki have always been serving Krishna in Krishna's mood. But now the mood has changed. How Vasudeva is serving Krishna in Krishna's proper mood? It is mentioned that one of the names of Vasudeva is Shauri. Now Shauri has come from the root word Shur or valor or courage. So why Vasudeva is called Shauri? Our Acharya has mentioned, actually in one sense if you see, in Vasudeva's life, there has been constant failure. He got married and immediately after marriage his wife was threatened. And he had to compromise and because of that, somehow or other he could save his wife, but they were put in prison. So it was a kind of a failure. He got married, supposed to be king, but he was in prison. And then one by one, all of his six sons, they got killed. Again, so many failures. His own son Krishna went away, some other place. Failure after failure. So why is called Shauri? He was courageous? Because he was not able to protect his wife, give pleasure to his wife, protect his children. He is called Shauri. He is called a person of courage because he did not lose his confidence. He worked on behalf of Krishna. When he came to know Krishna is going to appear as eighth son, he did not mind going through all the pains of losing six sons. because you know Krishna's will has to be taken, Krishna's will has to be executed. That's called Shauri. He acted as per Krishna's instructions, as per Krishna's will. Therefore, he is called as Shauri. So, we find here Vasudev has immense understanding of Krishna, and he works as per Krishna's will, and he executes Krishna's will properly. One time, Satswarup Maharaj, he wrote a letter to Srila Prabhupada, asking him that why do devotees, sometimes we see they break their promises. Devotees are supposed to be righteous. And then he mentioned this point of why Vasudev apparently broke his promise which he gave to Kamsa, that he will hand over all the sons to Kamsa. So Prabhupada wrote a beautiful letter back to Satswarup Maharaj, and he mentions that actually devotee always executes any Krishna consciousness based on the Lord's mood. And Prabhupada gave example, like for example, when Lord Ramchandra came, Lord Ramchandra was Maryada Purushottam. He was very strict in following principles and rules. Lord Ram was very, very meticulous in executing all the promises. So when Dashrath Maharaj, his own father Dashrath Maharaj, when the time came and Kaikeyi told Dashrath Maharaj about the promise he gave, and then Kaikeyi asked that she wanted Lord Ram to be banished. Dashrath Maharaj in his heart did not want it, Prabhupada said. But because he was father of Lord Ram, whose mood was never break any promise. So therefore he did not break his promise and he had to banish his own son Lord Ram. So Dashrath Maharaj fulfilled Lord Ram's mood by keeping the promise. But when Krishna came, Krishna was an independent supreme personality of Godhead, Prabhupada writes. His agenda was more devotees than anything else. And for his devotees, he did not mind breaking any promises or any ethical or moral things. That was Krishna's mood. So Prabhupada said, Krishna's mood was more with devotees. So Krishna wanted Vasudev to execute the same mood. So Vasudev was well known for his honesty. So much honest that even Kamsa, like a demon in the Kamsa, he also had faith on Vasudev. And he agreed not to kill Devaki on the pretext that Vasudev fulfilled his vow of sending all the sons to him. And then you find, amazingly, that Prabhupada said, Vasudev cheated Kamsa, did not kept his eighth promise. The eighth thing was he was supposed to deliver his son. But instead, Krishna told him, take me across the Yamuna and take me to Nanda Gokul. And Vasudev went across. So this is how Vasudev was executing the mood of Krishna. Whatever Krishna wanted, Vasudev was in favor of that. Like one time, 1966, around that time, Prabhupada had ordered from India, this was the very early days, Prabhupada ordered some portraits, some paintings from India, because there are not many paintings of Krishna in the small storefront they had. So when all the paintings and posters came in the through a courier or whatever post it came, then devotees were, they told Prabhupada that the paintings have come. So Prabhupada came to the small temple storefront, and Prabhupada saw all the paintings which were displayed down, and Prabhupada immediately offered obeisance to all those paintings. And as Prabhupada was about to get up, that time these devotees were so enthusiastic, they wanted to know so many things. And immediately they asked, Prabhupada, what is this painting? So there was one painting where it was showing that Vasudev was inside water, half submerged, and there was a lady who was also half submerged, and she was giving Krishna to Vasudev. So now Prabhupada had not even got up from his Dandavat Pranam, and they asked Prabhupada, what is this? And so Prabhupada sat there only, and Prabhupada told the whole story, that this is Yamuna, and she wanted to touch Krishna's lotus feet. So what she happened is, when Vasudev was traveling across Yamuna, Yamuna increased her water level, and in one sense, she increased so much that Krishna fell in the water. And Vasudev was troubled, where is Krishna, where is Krishna? And Prabhupada said that Yamuna came back with Krishna and said, oh, I wanted to play with your Krishna, so I played, my thing is over, now take back Krishna. So Prabhupada explained that that's particular painting. Then immediately devotee said, what about this painting? Where now this painting was Vasudev was in Gokul and he was exchanging the children, Yashoda's girl child with his baby boy child. And Prabhupada just laughed and said, see how Vasudeva is cheating Yashoda. Prabhupada said, Yashoda is sleeping, she doesn't know. And Vasudeva is coming in very silence, he is changing the children. This is Vasudeva's cheating policy, Prabhupada said. So Prabhupada said, this is the mood of a devotee. A devotee, apparently Vasudeva, he had a record, track record of honesty, but because Krishna's will has to be executed, he didn't mind breaking his own promise. And therefore he cheated and he broke his promise. Then Prabhupada told Satswarup Maharaj, but now this is Kali Yuga. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's age. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is well known for very strictly observing all principles. So therefore all devotees in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement should not cheat, but to strictly observe all the principles which Mahaprabhu and his Acharyas have mentioned, like following principles, chanting 16 rounds. So you find here that how, for the pleasure of Krishna, Vasudeva executed. And therefore Krishna was constantly happy with Vasudeva's devotional service. However, now in this case, in this chapter, Krishna is not happy. Why Krishna is not happy? Because the mood has changed. There is too much of Aishwarya Gyan here. Like for example, in the Bhagavad Gita, when Arjuna sees the universal form, what happens? Arjuna's Sakhya has got weakened. Similarly here, this Aishwarya Gyan has weakened the Vatsalya Ras of Vasudev and Devaki. This Aishwarya Gyan had created fear in the hearts of Vasudev and Devaki, which Krishna does not like. Krishna wants his devotees to perform Krishna consciousness in the mood of love and not fear. Like one Shyamaprabhu was mentioning, in the material world outside, the prevalent theory about God is what? Fear. Like always someone is saying, you know, he is a God-fearing person. Or Bhagwan se daro, you know. So the whole concept is fear God. But Krishna consciousness principle is that we preach that ultimately we have to come to the stage of doing all activities for serving and loving God, not out of fear. But here Vasudeva and Devaki, their mood has changed. Our Acharya has mentioned in this chapter that this whole Aishwarya Gyan has disturbed Vasudev and distracted Devaki. Disturbed Vasudev and distracted Devaki. And Vasudev and Devaki are thinking, previously also we made a mistake. When Krishna was born in the prison cell of Kamsa, he manifested the four-armed form. And then after giving that darshan, we so foolishly asked him, oh Krishna, kindly become a small child, because Kamsa may come and kill you. So we are seeing Krishna as four-armed Vishnu form, but yet we are so ignorant, we are telling Krishna to become a small child because we are fearing Kamsa. We are not thinking how great Krishna is here. So they are thinking how many times there was a lapse on their part, they could not recognize Krishna as Supreme Personality of Godhead. So they were afraid. However, we should know now that Krishna is not going to keep quiet. He is going to execute something by which again Vasudeva and Devaki will change back from Aishwarya Gyan to the normal parental affection of Krishna consciousness. So therefore we should know that Krishna is going to please now Vasudeva and Devaki. It's a beautiful verse which we often hear, that Vasudevam Sutam Devam Kamsa Charanu Mardanam Devaki Paramanandam. So Devaki Paramanandam Vasudeva Sutam Devam. So Krishna is known as the son of mother Devaki and Vasudev. And he also gives pleasure to his parents. So how Krishna is going to give pleasure to parents? Krishna's unique way of giving pleasure. Srila Jiva Goswami mentions that Krishna is thinking in his mind while these prayers and glorification is offered to him by Vasudev. Krishna is thinking in his mind that what is this Vasudev doing, you know? Why is offering all these prayers? He is my father. He should not be in this mood. And he is thinking that I have appeared in the form of their son. They are my eternal parents. And they have a position which even Brahma is aspiring but can't get. And after getting this position, they are in awe and reverence. So the whole mood is spoiled, Krishna is thinking, Acharya say. So Krishna is highly embarrassed now. And Krishna was thinking that previously also they embarrassed me. When Krishna came and killed Kamsa, after killing Kamsa, when he went to meet Vasudeva and Devaki, they did not go ahead and embraced him. They stood in awe and reverence. So Krishna was not happy. So Krishna had to change their mood. And then later they embraced Krishna and accepted as son. So now Krishna is thinking that this time also in this Kurukshetra, we all come here, but all these great sages have come and they are offering prayers to me and offering obeisance to me. So Vasudeva and Devaki are now in awe and reverence because they think that I am not their son. I am in fact Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, Krishna is now going to do something spectacular as the chapter goes by. What is the spectacular thing Krishna is going to do? Because what's going to happen is, Devaki who is distracted, Vasudeva who is disturbed as for Acharyas, because they are seeing Krishna as God, they are thinking, oh, if he is God, who is our son? And they are thinking, we had 6 sons, but now they are dead. So who is our son? And therefore, Devaki is going to remember, oh, this Krishna, who is God, previously he got back Sandipani Muni's son back from death. So maybe, now Krishna is God, I don't know, maybe he's not my son. Maybe he can help me get my 6 dead sons back. So that kind of mood had come in Devaki's mind. So Krishna wanted to fulfill this beautiful desire of Devaki, and yet after this whole thing, get Devaki back to the position of accepting that Krishna is the only son. So what will happen in the whole episode which will unfold in due course of time is, Krishna will bring the dead sons of Devaki back, and through that episode, Devaki will come to know that they are not his sons. They are the original sons of Maricha. And then, ultimately she will come back to the point that Krishna is the only son. And Krishna and no one else is my son. So this whole story is unfolded in Vishnu Puran, where it is mentioned that how Krishna arranged that the 6 sons come back and Devaki and Vasudeva get the entire understanding of how this whole pastime of 6 sons of Devaki were killed manifest to them. So it is mentioned that how the story goes is that when Brahma was creating the universe and he was manifesting so many created beings from his own body and mind, it is mentioned that he created from his mind his Manas Putra, and one of them was Maricha. And Maricha had 6 sons. Beautiful names are there. But because they were sons of Maricha and they were very, they became a little proud because they were born from Maricha, such a great sage. So little pride was there, small young boys. So when Brahma was creating, at the time of his creation, he created this beautiful creation called as Vak, her own daughter. And Brahma got bewildered and started running after Vak to copulate with her. At this time, everyone was alarmed what Brahma is doing. But these 6 sons of Maricha, they started laughing. And they should have kept some courtesy that all great people are not laughing, they are bewildered, but these people are take one step ahead and they start laughing on Brahma. So when they are laughing at Brahma, the other great sages were unhappy with these 6 sons, and therefore immediately curse, you don't fit in the category of demigods, you can't control your emotions, so better you become demons for one lifetime. As a result, the 6 sons of Maricha, they became demons. But when they were cursed like that, they apologized their mistake. And they were told, in due course of time, you will be delivered by Supreme Personality of Godhead and will come back to this position as demigods. So these 6 sons of Maricha became demons. And they were born in the lineage of Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. There are many details to this pastime. Some places it is mentioned they were born as sons of Hiranyakashipu. Some places it is mentioned they are grandsons of Hiranyakashipu. But here in the scripture it is mentioned that they were born as grandsons of Hiranyaksha. Hiranyaksha had son Kalanemi, and Kalanemi's sons were the 66 sons of Maricha who were born. So what had happened is, the little independent mindedness which was there in their life as sons of Maricha, they carried over in the next life. So what happened is, Hiranyakashipu had just returned from his big tapasya and penance, and he had got all those powers and he was now unbeatable. At this very time, these six sons of Kalyani went to do penance without informing Hiranyakashipu. And they went on to execute a tremendous penance, and they got a benediction, which was not as powerful as Hiranyakashipu's benedictions, but something relevant. So they got some, from Brahmaji himself, they got that they will not be killed by any demigods, nor by Gandharvas, nor by Kinnaras, like that. All those things, not by human beings. So when they came back, Hiranyakashipu came to know. And he became very violent and angry. He was thinking, I am trying to become the master of the whole universe, and these our own guys are trying to compete with me. So he became so angry that he cursed the six sons of Kalyanemi. That you said that you will not be killed by all of this. You didn't ask one thing. You will not be killed by demon. So I now curse you that you will be killed by your own father, Kalyanemi, in the next life. So they mentioned when such a curse came upon them, they became very depressed. And at that time it is mentioned that eventually they got settled in Sutal Loka, the place where Bali Maharaj rules. Now Kalyanemi, on the other hand, it is mentioned, this Kalyanemi was part of the whole Samudra Manthan Leela, where Mohini Murthy came and she tricked all the demons and gave the nectar to demigods. And then ensured the big fight between demons and demigods, in which demons were defeated. In fact, it mentioned that Indra, he killed Kalyanemi in that fight. But Shukracharya had power. So with his power, with a pool of immortality, nectar of immortality, he brought back Kalyanemi to life again. So Kalyanemi was very grateful to Shukracharya for bringing him back to life. But he also knew that now demigods are very powerful. So he went back to do tapasya. And from his tapasya, from again back to Brahmaji this time, he asked for a benediction that he should not be killed by anyone. But he did not ask for Lord Vishnu, because he knew very well Brahmaji cannot give that benediction. He had that intelligence, so he didn't ask that. So now Kalyanemi was so powerful, but he was thinking that time is not proper for me to go against demigods. So he had a strategic understanding, and to that strategic point, he decided that he will take another birth. So his siddhic powers, by siddhi powers and his yogic powers, he took another birth on the planet Earth from where he wanted to execute his power as a demon. So then he was born as the son of Ugrasen Maharaj and Padmavati, and then he became Kamsa. So all these things are all different, you know. The curse number one, the curse number two, and Kalyanemi. So when Lord Krishna came, Lord Krishna Leela is so powerful, amazing. When Krishna comes, he executes all different plots and missions together. He brings all parties together and everything is fulfilled in one stock. Like for example, it is mentioned that when Lord Ram went to from Ayodhya to Janakpur to marry Sita, and when he was marrying Sita, there are many young ladies in Mithila, in Janakpur, who also wanted to marry Ram when they saw the beauty of Ram. So in their hearts, they exhibited this desire to Lord Ram that they want to marry. So Lord Ram heard their desire and reciprocated by telling them that actually in this particular incarnation, I can't do that because I have taken this vow of marrying only one wife. But next time when I come, I'll marry all of you. Meanwhile, you remain strong in your Krishna consciousness. So Lord Ram promised them. And then Lord Ram went ahead, and then he came to Ayodhya. In Ayodhya, the same thing happened. There were also young ladies in Ayodhya who wanted to marry Ram. And he also said the same thing to Lord, to those ladies, that I will eventually marry you. And then Lord Ram was so beautiful. Wherever he went, many devotees came and expressed this madhurya, conjugal desire. Lord Ram was in the forest of Dandakaranya. And there it is mentioned a tribe was there, Pulinda tribe. So the girls of Pulinda tribe came and they expressed the same desire. And Lord Ram said, next time. And the sages of Dandakaranya, who were worshipping Lord Gopal in the mood of Madhurya. So when they saw Lord Ram, they understood this is not different than our Gopal. So they expressed the desire. And then the same thing, Lord Ram said, next time. So Lord Ram was going all over the places and he was saying, next time, next time. So there was a huge account which was like building up, you know, so many devotees' desires he had to fulfill. Previously also when Naranara and Rishi was there and the Apsaras came sent by Indra to distract him. Naranaanishi produced apsaras from his own body and gifted to Indra. So these apsaras were gifted by Lord. They prayed that may we also get a chance to become your consort. And Naranaanishi said that, well, not in this particular incarnation. The next time I'll get opportunity, I'll definitely fulfill your desires. So it is mentioned in all incarnations, many times Lord promised many devotees. It was in Krishna Leela, Lord, he actually settled all the accounts. Therefore, there are billions of gopis and thousands of queens. So Krishna, in his Leela, settled all the account. So here in this Leela also, he is going to settle the account of Maricha and Kalini and Hiranyakashipu's curse also. So what happened is, when Vasudev and Devaki were getting married, Krishna told Yogamaya that you have a very important task. The task is that the sons of Kalinemi, they have to take birth in Devaki's womb, that you have to take care of them. Second task is, you have to see that Balramji is transferred to Rohini's womb. And third is, you have to see that you take birth as Yashoda's girl child and come back in my place. So these are three tasks which was given to Yogamaya by Krishna. And it is also mentioned by the potency of Yogamaya to make this whole thing happen. As per Mahabharata Atpara Nirane, it was Vayudev himself who made that Akashvani, that, O Kamsa, the eighth son of your sister Devaki will kill you. Why that Akashvani was made? Because Kamsa had no idea about it. And Kamsa had to kill those six sons. So how that will come? Only when he is put into knowledge. So because of that knowledge aspect, he came to know that eighth son is going to kill him. And therefore he was very angry and wanted to kill Devaki. But Devaki was saved. But later we find that how again when Vasudeva bought the first son, Kamsa showed some compassion. So this was also not good. So then what happened? Through Yogamaya's potency, Narad Muni appeared. And he tricked Kamsa. And gave a lotus flower to Kamsa and said, Kamsa, this is a beautiful lotus flower. Tell me which is the first petal and the eighth petal. And then he left. And Kamsa immediately came to know, yes, who is the first son, who is the eighth son, no one knows. So that whole thing instigated the pastime because Kamsa had to kill his own sons. If he showed compassion, then the whole Leela will not happen. And then by Yogamaya's potency, she went to Sutala Loka and she got the sons. And one by one, in the six wombs of Devaki, they were planted. Kamsa came and killed all the six sons. Eventually the six sons went back to Sutala Loka and stayed with Bali Maharaj because they had to wait for one more deliverance of their curse. And after the sixth was over, then by Krishna's order, Yogamaya transferred. First Balramji came in the womb of Devaki and then Balramji was transferred in the womb of Rohini. Why it happened, our acharyas mentioned, because Balramji, he wanted to come and make a place suitable for Krishna to appear. Because the six sons had come, were all demonic sons. Balramji came in one sense and did proper cleansing of the whole process, of the whole womb, so that Krishna can appear in that beautiful place. So Balramji is Guru Tattva. Our acharyas mentioned that we have six anarthas. The six sons of Devaki represent six anarthas. So when Krishna has to appear, Janmashtami has to come, then first Guru has to work on us. Through his instruction, all the anarthas will go, and then he will clean the place in our heart and Krishna will appear. So Balramji came, but Krishna didn't want to keep Balramji there because he knew if Balramji appears as Devaki's son, he will kill Kamsa because he is always in the mood of service. So Krishna didn't want. So he said, immediately transfer him. He has done his work, now transfer him to the womb of Rohini. So Yogamaya, when she was transferring Balramji is very heavy. She could not do it. So she prayed to Krishna and Krishna empowered her. And then she was able to transfer Balramji. So Balramji came in the womb of Rohini and now it was already set for Krishna to appear in the womb of Devaki. And Krishna appeared and then Krishna told Vasudeva and Devaki that I want you to be, you transfer me to Nanda Gokul and bring the girl child here. And this girl child was Yogamaya, then she appeared as Mahamaya. And then it is mentioned when Kamsa was about to kill her, she came in the air, She went in the air and she kind of, you know, warned Kamsa that, you fool, the person is going to kill you, is already born somewhere else. So when Kamsa heard that, he became shocked, bewildered, and he fainted. So our acharyas mentioned, Kamsa is like a perfect materialistic person who thinks that all of his plan will be properly executed. So Kamsa was thinking, okay, now 8 child. So he planned, okay, we'll put in prison so that no one can escape. So when the first child got killed, Kamsa was giving a count, okay, 1 killed, 1 out, 2 out, 3 out, 4 out, 5 out, 6 out. So he was very confident, now 2 remaining. And 7th, suddenly the womb disappeared. And that was the most bewildering thing for Kamsa. He did not even think about like that. And I was thinking, how could this happen, you know? 6 came out, 7th disappeared. So he was completely bewildered, he could not fathom. And the 8th child came, and the 8th child was a girl child. That more bewildered him. And the most bewildering thing was when that girl child went in the air and told that the person who's going to kill you is appearing somewhere else. He got so much bewildered that he fainted in that same place. Then he awakened, then he realized, oh, such a big thing has happened. So this is how Krishna acted. And now here we see in this chapter, on the request of Devaki, Krishna is going to bring all the 6 sons from Sutala Loka. And when they come here, it is mentioned as small children, Devaki's paternal affection, motherly affection will awaken. And then she wants to breastfeed them. So it is mentioned by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in Sarada Darshini that when Krishna appeared in the prison of Kamsa, and as Krishna told, take me across Nanda Gokul, Devaki was thinking that my child is going across such a big journey across Yamuna, maybe he will feel thirsty. So that time she breastfed Krishna. So acharyas mentioned, because Krishna drank the milk, it became Mahamilk. And now the 6 sons of Devaki who were in Sutala Loka brought back, they were going to taste the nectar which was tasted by Krishna. As a result, they were delivered and reinstated their demigod position. So they became demigods in front of Vasudeva and Devaki. And the whole story came to existence, that how this whole Maricha and whole pastime came. So they understood. Then Devaki understood, these are not my sons. These are sons of Maricha. Then who is my son? The one person standing here, Krishna, he is only my son. So how Krishna, in this way, the whole Aishwarya Gyan was removed, and Krishna brought back Vasudeva and Devaki to the original bhav of Vatsalya. So this is Krishna's amazing plan, where he very happily executes his plan through devotees. And when the plan is somehow there is an obstacle, Krishna eventually brings back the devotee to the right track, and then Krishna consciousness is performed very well. Hare Krishna. So we'll end here. Thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Thank you.